You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It's fun to have the ladies on the program, and we've got one making a debut appearance tonight. A few TPC listeners had contacted me over the past couple of months and encouraged me to check out a certain Twitter handle, and I saw this Twitter handle popping up in my feed from time to time from others that I follow, following her and retweeting her and liking her content. And so after the third or fourth time I heard about this particular lady, I looked into it, and I liked what I found. She has a YouTube channel called Thinking in Criminal and a very fast-growing Twitter following, and we'll give you all that contact information before the end of the hour, of course. But first, let's welcome to the broadcast for the very first time, Little Apostate, making her debut. How are you tonight, Little Apostate?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. And so under your pseudonym, you are a young thought criminal that dives into topics that have turned you into an outcast, you say, in the eyes of your peers. And it's gotten you a lot fewer party invitations. But yeah. We're going to let the thought crimes flow tonight, if that's okay with you.
That's excellent. That's what my favorite thing is.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your evolution. Now, if I'm not mistaken in my research, you were perhaps somewhere left of center up until a few years ago, or maybe we would just call that a normie. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of your positions. You know, if you notice things, that can cause a lot of trouble in this age of tolerance and repressive tolerance and diversity.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say I was heading down the path of like a leftist for a while. I think a lot of it had to do with, I grew up in a conservative home, so the natural thing is to rebel when you're a teenager. So I was in a very liberal area. I was rebelling against my parents, and I would fight with them on all of their conservative beliefs. So I was interested in politics and all that, but I was really, really the opposite of what I am now. But then as I went into college, and then I started to see my professors were, I had one professor who told us all she was bisexual. And I was like, what? Well, I don't understand why I need to know that. And, the more and more I started to see just how kind of stupid all my teachers were, who were all liberal leftists, I just slowly started to pay more and more attention to what I was seeing in the news. And I think it was really when, I think it was the Kavanaugh trial, the Believe All Women movement, because when everyone was saying Believe All Women, I was like, well, I've lied quite a few times in my life. This is very stupid to just believe all women. So while everyone that I worked with at that point, because at that point I was out of college, they were all, they were putting posters up on the walls that said Believe All Women and Me Too. And I was like, this is insane. This is very culty and weird. And then I watched the Kavanaugh trial and could not believe what I was seeing. And it just kind of kept going. Then the that Nicholas Sandman, that happened.
Yeah. Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. They got him on camera smiling. And it's how inverted is that? A smile becomes the most evil thing in the world. And he's a kid. A kid versus some old man banging a drum in his face. And then he, his school got, and then his school gets death threats. And and he gets death threats, and you know, I couldn't take it anymore at that point, because I was surrounded by so many people who were, you know, 30 years old, 40 years old, mid-20s, cheering this on, like cheering on the social destruction of a child. I just couldn't take it anymore. And at that point, I hadn't become a social pariah in my hometown until later on, but that was what really started to make me, you know, I started researching like Ben Shapiro and, like, you know, the, I guess the gateway drug to thinking the way I do now.
That's an interesting evolution. Everybody's got an origin story, but you know, little apostate, a lot's changed since Woodstock. We're the counterculture now. I mean, there is nothing revolutionary about having the same worldview as AOL and MSNBC and Burger King. I mean, the people on the right, the people who are actually suffering for taking a position, that's the counterculture. And there is something very rewarding and fulfilling for stepping into the void and going in there and swimming against the tide. I know you feel that.
I mean, yeah, I feel it, like, when I really first decided to say something, which I hadn't decided to, you know, I didn't come up with my pseudonym and start doing this until, like, mid-2020, after the George Floyd riots and after everyone started, you know, kind of freaking out about COVID. At that point, you know, there were, like, whispers before then in my hometown, like, oh, that girl, she's a little crazy. You might not want to invite her to your party. But then once I started really, like, just going after it on my, at the time, personal Instagram, which I've since deleted because none of those people are worth knowing anything going on in my life anymore. But they had all, like, people were calling my friends and saying, how could you associate with her? She's a racist. She's a bigot. And I mean, it was all because I was at that point had started to just be like, hey guys, you know, what about this guy, you know, Daniel Shaver, who was a white guy that was shot and killed by police. Why don't we talk about that? And then automatically I was like, you know, she's not coming to the wedding anymore. So
really?
Yeah.
You know, I was actually going to ask you about that. That was actually on my notes to ask you about. So, you know, you and I were talking on the phone a couple of days ago, and I told you I've done this my entire adult life. So I have never had my activism adversely impact a relationship. Everybody is either in agreement or they're neutral or they know better than to challenge me on it. But I've never lost a relationship I cared to have over this. Now, you're a millennial. I'm about a decade older than you. I'm the very tail end of Generation X. Now, you're challenging the narrative on a wide variety of issues, and we're going to cover a lot of them this hour, ladies and gentlemen, so stay tuned for that. But I was wondering if challenging that narrative was something that you see more of your peers beginning to do, or if more or most are content to continue to drift along with that prevailing tide. But you have had this. Of course, my story is somewhat unique. Well, I'll tell you what. I hear the music. We'll come back to that question. I know not everybody shares my experience, and a lot of people pay a price for noticing things and realizing the truth and taking the revolutionary act to speak out about what they know to be true. And we'll hear the little apostate share us more of her story next. So much more to get to tonight, including a rapid-fire segment that you don't want to miss.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Years on the radio, you can still lose count on the ad breaks, and especially with all the good treats they put in the green room here. But we are back here tonight, live, of course, unedited and uncensored here on TPC this Saturday evening, August the 6th. Little Apostate is our guest. And by the way, she's also quite the talented artist. She paints and she hates the state. That's what she says. And you can check that out at littleapostate.com. We're going to give you the full link tree, as the kids say, but littleapostate.com. On Twitter, at littleapostate. It's just that simple. On YouTube, you can just go to YouTube and go to the search field, Little Apostate. You'll find all of her great content. So what we were talking about before the last break, the fact that this has been something that has cost you some friendships and some relationships, yet you still, and that is enough. You know, our ancestors had to sacrifice blood and bone, but we are not willing to sacrifice name calling and a little superficial inconveniences, and that's enough to make most men cower. But you've been able to walk through that. How'd you do it?
I mean, honestly, I was traumatized, like not traumatized, but I was really heartbroken at first. Just to see people that, you know, sure, I had spent the past few years with, being, you know, building friendships through, you know, my new coworkers. And, you know, I had this like really stupid girls' night that I used to do once a week with these girls that I thought I was made friends with for life. And they all knew I was opinionated, but, the second that it became taboo to be my friend, they cared more about the general social opinion on me instead of, you know, who they knew me to be in private. So it was really, really hard at first, especially because I had not built up some following of people who agreed with me. Like, I felt at that point very alone. So, and it's interesting to think about it, the way you had framed it. With, you know, you've been doing this since for I think you said 20 years now, right?
18 years on the radio, 20 years since I ran for office, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it is a totally different thing. Like, it's nice because you've been able to, you know, everyone who knows you for you always. And like, you know, unapologetically you. And me, like, because all of this stuff came out, it didn't wake me up until, you know, mid to late 20s that I, you know, all these relationships I had built over time based on just character and humor or whatever it was completely dissolved within the period of like 6 months.
So here's the question. Now, that's a legitimate price to pay, losing friends, losing relationships, losing things that you thought, and I'm sure were valuable to you. But the question is, what anchored you? What gave you the mental fortitude to carry on in spite of all of that, rather than folding back into the narrative, into the system?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I get it from my mom. I'm extremely stubborn. So knowing I knew I was right. So knowing I was right was enough. Like, I've always, even while I was spewing falsehoods, I guess, when I was more of a leftist, believing in my cause was always more, like, it was always important to me. So, you know, like, before everything became so taboo to talk about, people genuinely did like hearing me talk about, like, my friends would, you know, I was a fun party guest at, before all of this because of that. So I've always been very, you know, I stand behind my opinions. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. But to me, the most important thing is being able to say what I want to say. I truly enjoy it. So when everyone was kind of threatening, there it was like friendship or, you know, I keep running around being a loudmouth asshole. Sorry. I don't know if I was allowed to say that.
That's okay.
I chose the latter because I saw truth and I wanted to continue speaking it. Like, it doesn't really, and also once you start to realize the greater agenda behind all of it, which I had slowly started to see, then I was like, well, there is really no going back and there's no point in going back. So.
Well, it's still brave. I will tell you this. If the men of this country had the balls that you do, we would have never had this problem. And we would not be in the situation that we're in, and we would have a much clearer path to reclamation than we do right now. Although I do think things are changing, and we talked about that earlier tonight. We've been talking about it for a while now here on this program. But you have certainly gone to the next level. I think if I'm reading from your evolution accurately, you have come from this from sort of an anti-establishment, anti-system type of perspective. But as you continue to grow into that, and as you continue to notice things, as we said before, it takes you down paths that become increasingly dangerous. And that leads me to a video that you put up, really actually a tweet. It was a simple tweet. You tweeted, I love being white. You actually did a video about it, and you can find that on YouTube, and we're actually going to link to that video next week here on our website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But you tweeted it first, I love being white. What happened after you tweeted that? I love being white.
Well, so I tweeted that. I mean, obviously it's become, I mean, maybe to us, obviously, it's become like not okay to appreciate being white or to love being white. And, you know, I had tweeted a few, like, controversial things before that, and a bunch of, I guess, the crazy leftists had found my Twitter. And they, you know, they were quote tweeting me, responding to me, and most of them were disregarding my opinion completely just because, you know, there was somewhere in their tweet, their response to me that accused me of being stupid because I'm like a blonde white girl. And, you know, this is something that I have, like, my whole life, when I was in middle school, when I was in high school, everyone would just be like, oh, she's just a dumb blonde. So, you know, over time, I've really started to be like, why is it so fun for everyone to poke fun at me because I'm a white blonde girl, but everyone else gets to love the way they look, love their skin, love their, you know, heritage, their ancestors. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to annoy the hell out of some people, and I'm going to say I love being white and just see what happens. Because, one, I know I can't get taken off of Twitter for something like that because I'm saying, you know, I'm literally just saying I love being white. I'm not saying I hate anyone else because I don't. That's all. It's a really simple statement, and people should be allowed to say that. And to me, it's kind of wild that more people don't say it who are white, because I hear it so much from everyone else different races.
Well, that's absolutely right. When you notice things, my goodness, it never stops. You never stop noticing once you start noticing. And what I have noticed is that so much of what emanates from the left is projection. And by that, I mean they claim to be tolerant and the purveyors of diversity, but they are certainly intolerant of the diversity of opinion, and oftentimes violently so. And they always claim that we are the ones animated by hatred, but yet none of my associates have ever exhibited the kind of hatred that is commonplace behavior for our opponents, which leads me to believe, and I've said this before, and I know you've touched on this as well. Well, I'll ask you, do you think that there is a demonic spirit in play here? Because I think Tolkien was onto something. These people very much remind me of the orcs in the Lord of the Rings literature. Not only do the people who champion leftist ideology embrace a culture of death and degeneracy, it actually physically manifests in their outward appearance. Do you agree or disagree?
I 100% agree. I mean, it's so clear that most of their hatred towards people like me is actually, it's actually directed at themselves. Like they
hear, hear.
Yeah. And so a lot of it, I think, stems from being, you know, they live within a system that is, you know, it's not one of the people I've read up on a lot who I really enjoy, and a bit of a controversial name, but, you know, Ted Kaczynski calls it like a, you know, a surrogate activity. And so a surrogate activity is basically people who, you know, they have no purpose, but they're, because their purpose really is working to
hold
uphold
on, a little apostate, hold on right there. The commercial breaks are a cruel master, but we have to take them. We got to take one right now, but I'm going to let you finish that thought before we get into a rapid fire segment. Next, little apostate.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusa reporting. By an overwhelming 86-11 vote, the Senate Tuesday night gave final passage to a bill that ramps up health care and disability benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits and other toxins. The PACT Act of 2022 passed Tuesday night. Pat Toomey, who led the Republicans installing the measure, warned that it included what he calls a trick that would permit indiscriminate spending. And a school in Utah has removed books from the shelves.
Utah's largest public school district is defending its decision to remove 52 books that some parents view as pornographic. The Alpine School District has roughly 84,000 students. The district decided to pull the books by 41 authors from its library shelves after an internal audit flagged them as sensitive material without literary merit. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
I'm Tony Marusa for USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll-and-go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175. 8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the buy one get one extravaganza, going on right now at mypillow.com.
A kidnapped girl's escape in Alabama has led to the discovery of two decomposing bodies and the arrest of a man now facing murder and kidnapping charges. Police got a call Monday morning from a driver about a 12-year-old girl walking alone along County Road 34 in Dadeville, Tallapoosa County. Sheriff Jimmy Abbott said Tuesday at a news conference the girl had been restrained to bedposts for about a week, according to the criminal complaint. Jose Paulino Pascal Reyes, 37, was arrested Monday about 25 miles away in Auburn on suspicion of first-degree kidnapping by U.S. Marshals and police, the sheriff said, adding other agencies are also on this case. U.S. job openings fell by the most in just over 2 years in June as demand for workers eased in the retail and wholesale trade industries, But overall, the labor market remains tight, allowing the Federal Reserve to continue raising interest rates. At least 4.2 million workers voluntarily quit their jobs in June and layoffs declined. This is USA Radio News.
Believe it or not, I started to worry.
If you're tuned in live right now, or if you listen to this in the broadcast archives after the fact, please follow our featured guest tonight on Twitter at Little Apostate. Go to YouTube, Little Apostate. That's what you got to search for. You'll like her videos. I promise you that, and I hope that this is the first of additional appearances to come. Now, we're going to play a rapid-fire segment. I was just talking to her during the break about how this is going to work, and she has done videos about many of these topics that I'm going to throw at her this segment, but we're going to limit it to 30 or 60-second responses so we can cover a lot of ground on a lot of different issues in a single segment just to give you a nice broad shot of where she's coming from. But before we do that, Little Apostate, we kind of ran into a break before we finished the entire thought. We were talking about how the poison of the left manifests in the outward appearances of its advocates and practitioners, and I think we've seen a lot of these before and after radical feminism photos of women who are very attractive. They embrace radical feminism, and then they turn into whatever this is. Your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so. I kind of started going down the Ted Kaczynski rabbit hole right then, where you know he basically said the system that we operate in is full of people who don't have a purpose. And I think that, you know, all of these people who feel kind of lost because the world is not, you know, it's not working in their favor. They kind of just become this really just like sad, you know, they become what they are. So in today's world with, you know, everything is in your pocket, there really is no big fight to have. That's why they're all out in the streets fighting for things that don't matter or are inherently evil. Their purpose lies within only things that are meaningless or evil. And so it does start to, you know, completely take hold of their appearances, which I have noticed in many of
your detractors. Am I right? Your detractors look a certain way, by and large.
Yeah. Yeah, one woman who I had tweeted something about that, which is not the nicest thing for me to do, but I did do it just because, you know, I'm generalizing. It's not like I'm you know, calling anyone out, specifically out. In order, if they're getting mad at me generalizing what a leftist looks like, that means that they look like that. So one woman had who was looked to be upwards of 300 pounds. And her, she had a very, you know, she mentioned that she sells nudes of her body on her Twitter. She took my tweet and called me ugly. So it was really interesting to see that, to see how they don't even know, they don't even realize, how much it has, you know, how much it does show up in themselves. Like they cannot see it in the mirror. Which is actually, it's pretty insane.
No, it's absolutely, but there is something there. There is a correlation, and we'll just leave that right there. I'm sure you can find more content from this at her Twitter and YouTube, and we're going to plug all of that again. Let's do the rapid fire. Are you ready to do rapid fire? Can you do rapid fire?
I don't know, but I'm going to try.
All right, remember, 30 seconds, 60 seconds if you're really feeling excited about the topic. But otherwise, we're going to get Mr. Producer to bring out the horn. But I like doing this. These are fun things to do. Joe Biden.
Oh, I mean, well, rapid fire. Okay, this makes me think of Joe Biden, who his eyes are different in every single video I see of him. I honestly at this point think he's been cloned or something. And also he's obviously terrible. Like I don't know what to really say about him other than he's
enough.
It's like a joke.
That's good.
He's a puppet. It's like we're being run by puppets right now. That's what it feels like.
I don't think it's like that. I think it is that. So let's just go on to the next one. Pronouns.
Pronouns. I think they're extremely stupid. I mean, I think it's again assigning. You know, it's people trying to assign more meaning to something that means nothing just because they have no purpose. Like they have no, they're not living their life for any specific purpose. So they, you know, they find one thing to cling on to claim to be their own, and you know, that makes them special. And really, I mean, they're just deluded. But
everybody's searching for identity rather than having an identity rooted in a culture or in a people or in something eternal. You're having your identity anchored into something that the system is telling you to anchor in. You know, and to this, I would say the system is just seeing what it can get away with now. I mean, for it to suggest and for the media to run with the fact that there are infinite numbers of genders, and for a certain segment of the population to believe that, it's just a test to see what they can get away with. That's my opinion. But this is a rapid fire segment. We could spend an entire segment or even an hour on any of these topics. But how about Zelensky's Vogue photo shoot?
Oh my God. Well, so to me, you know, so I was getting in trouble earlier on this year for saying that Ukraine war was a lot of it was theater. Like, I don't believe the deaths are theater. I believe the reasoning and the politicians, as I said about Joe Biden, it's all puppetry. And the Zelensky's Vogue photo shoot was perhaps the best, proving me right thing that could have happened, but also just like, I can't believe it. Like it really, like, as you just said, the media is looking to see what they can get away with at this point. Like, it feels like that's a part of it. Like, you know, Vogue was always just things that didn't really matter. And now, you know, it's
supposedly wartime, and they're going over there. This wartime president, whose livelihood and whose life and whose nation is on the line, is sitting here in his in that combat green T-shirt he never takes off, and he's sitting here doing a Vogue photo. You know, I don't know how many other wartime leaders have done that.
I don't think any. My favorite photo though was the one of his wife standing in front of, like, her clothes are like blowing in the wind, and there's just like a war zone behind her. Like, I could not believe what I was seeing when I saw that, because it's just like, at this point it's all so fake. Like, it's just like, it's amazing how blatant they're being and that people still buy it, which I mean, I truly hope most people don't buy it, but in the metaverse, in the, you know, digital world, there are people who seem to support and loud them.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's whatever it is, it's far too many to be sure. But I think that obviously in the age of Trump and in the post-Trump era, trust in the media has been eviscerated, and that's a good thing. And we talk about that often on this program. However, there's still too much of it. I mean, and that's I just don't think there can be a reconciliation with these people. I think they're too far gone. I think once you've taken that much poison, you're beyond reconciliation, and you just have to go your own way, and we'll go on our own way, and that'll be okay. We'll try to work one more in before the next break, and then we've got her for one more segment, 1 hour with a little apostate is not enough. Modern technology and the addiction people have to their devices.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is one that I feel on a daily basis. Like, everywhere I go, you know, you go out to dinner and you see people at the table next to you. Their kids are on the phone. You know, kids have phones. I was just talking to my little brother today, and he was like, "Yeah, I've had social media, or I've had Instagram since I was 13." And I was like, "What?" And I was like, "Mom, like, how could you do this to him?" And, you know, it's becoming really, really terrifying because as you start to see the way people treat themselves, the way little young girls are dressing, the way, you know, just people are afraid of social interaction now. And for the most part, it seems like there are so many different elements to it that are, you know, it's a genius warfare tactic against people. Like I view technology as like a, kind of like a bioweapon. Like it's completely, changing.
It's dysgenic. It's dysgenic. It's dysgenic, and it drives down normal healthy relationships, which of course drives down birth rates, which of course ends civilizations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see all of it as like a depopulation tactic, but it is. Yeah, sorry.
No, you're right. Well, I was saying there it is in agreement, but there it is too, because we've got our last break of the hour. If you can believe it, folks, only one more segment with Little Apostate. We're going to give you plenty of reasons to check her out, and hopefully we've given her enough reason to come back again, and we'll do this again. But we got one more segment first. We're going to continue on with this rapid fire next. American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed our guest as much as I have, and we'll be sure to give you all of that contact info before the end of this, our final segment. But first, let's continue on with a little bit of the rapid fire. And this is something we talked about on the phone the other day. Western civilization, Western culture, and let's call it what it is. It's European culture. It's white culture. And without the people, that culture doesn't exist. Should we concern ourselves if our culture and our way of life and our very people are under attack? If that's the fact, and I believe it to be, should we concern ourselves with the delicate sensibilities of the perpetually aggrieved and the chronic malcontents by trying to avoid offending them?
Absolutely not. We should not be trying to avoid offending them. It's to me, it's, I mean, it's really sad that people are not proud of where they came from anymore. You know, I'm mostly German. And that's something that, you know, growing up in school, you had to look at your heritage as like, okay, well, where are you from? Like, were you one of the people? Are you from the people that did all these terrible things to other people? And like that was really drilled into our heads. And I'll never forget like how much, you know, they took us to all the museums where, you know, we had to see what our people did to other people. I think it's really, really not good.
I got an answer to all of that, by the way. Whatever is or isn't true, the fact of the matter is slavery wasn't a uniquely white enterprise. Whites have been enslaved. Believe me, you were lucky if you came over to North America. You weren't a part of the Muslim slave trade. Mm-hmm. Every race and ethnic group has engaged in some sort of a genocide. Why weren't there mound builders left by the time the colonists got to America? It's because they'd been exterminated by other Indian groups. I mean, everybody has taken pieces of land and conquered others and subjugated others. But we are the only ones who are told to feel guilty about it because, quite frankly, we did it better than anybody else. And I don't feel any shame for our people, by the way. I don't feel any shame in our people at all. I own it all. All the good, all the bad, it's all baked into the cake. I am proud of what we have done for all of humanity. And I want all of the different ethnicities and races, we talked about this in the last hour, everybody to live well and prosper. But I am not going to take myself out of that mix and my family. My first loyalty is to my family and to my extended family, which is our people. And I'm not ever going to be made to feel guilty about that. There is no retreat, no surrender, and no apologies on this program. And by the way, the polls and the trends suggest that this is all going to end. We've seen comments from Viktor Orban in Hungary. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. When we get people like that that can give normies safe cover, I mean, this whole thing is over. There's a very tenuous hold that the system has over our people, and I think it could end not just within our lifetimes, but within the next decade. I think things are taking place around us and happening quite quickly. But I want to go back. I want to go back to the rapid fire. We were talking about something before the last break about the addiction people have to their devices, this being dysgenic, lowering the birth rates, lowering depopulation, all of that. So we have a Valentine's Day show every year. That's a ladies' night show. We have about a half dozen different ladies that come on. And so I told you, you know, I met my wife in person in the early 2000s. In the early 2000s, you didn't have dating apps. You didn't have Twitter, I don't think, and maybe Facebook had just come online, but I saw my wife. Mm-hmm. She was extremely beautiful. I wanted her, so I went up and I talked to her. But I don't know if that's the way it still works now. Maybe you can inform us on that and forming relationships in the age of dating apps.
I mean, it's a massive struggle these days. You know, I remember when people first started using dating apps, like I think the first time anyone was like, oh, you should go on a dating app was in 2014 before I had met one of my serious boyfriends that I thought I was going to marry. But I met him at a yacht club where I was working. And so I've never met, you know, someone through a dating app that I ended up dating. I have been on them, but I find it to be, you know, I think it is a tool because I think they were just trying to, you know, early 2010s, they were trying to get us all used to, you know, living online and everything. And then the lockdown came and I was newly single out of a relationship where I had met my boyfriend in person yet again. And I was just like, okay, you know what? It's lockdown. I'll join this stupid thing. And it's been nothing but, you know, a disappointment and then also really informative to me for seeing how they want us to view the other sex now is, you know, very transactionally. Everyone is kind of, it's like you have this menu. It's a menu that never ends. So you know, when you go to a restaurant and there's too many options on the menu and you can't figure out which one to choose. I mean, it's, I view dating apps now as like a depopulation tool as well. I see a lot of things all kind of going towards depopulation. But I see dating apps as that too, because no one's ever going to choose anyone because there are just so many options. And then when you finally do choose someone, you're so picky because they're, you know, there's more. You know, there's more waiting for you on this magical device that's in your pocket. So
that's a really good take.
It's really scary, though. I mean, you know, even myself, like, I see myself being very, like, overly picky or something because, you know, there's hundreds of options, and it's thousands of options, whatever it is. But it's
well, it's an important decision, to be sure. It's an important decision, and you people deserve to play on the highest
right.
shelf possible that they could attain, and it is a lifetime decision, and we're talking about the continuance of our people and the continuance of our culture.
I mean,
so it is an important decision. But yeah, I mean, everything you said, of course, I agree with. But that gets me into my next question, and that is masculinity and the dangers posed by weak men. I know this is something that you've done some videos on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when I first gotten into all of this and I started, you know, really digging into philosophy and, you know, you find all these different kind of like parables of different philosophers like Nietzsche, like the higher man and the herd, and Marcus Aurelius, the weak men make hard times make strong men make easy times make weak men, like that.
That is so true.
And yeah, it's so true, but it's like what's really scary to me about this is like, it's like, oh, civilizations have been built and collapsed through, you know, strong men built them and then weak men collapsed them. And the problem now that I think we're facing is there is really, you know, no rebuilding a civilization as I see the emergence of technology and the way we have it now, which we've never had before, as such a threat to humanity rebuilding civilization after the inevitable collapse because of all the weak men, because there's not even going to be any humans left. So, you know, it really kind of scares me the amount of weak men that we see in society today, you know, the amount of people who are consuming, you know, just like processed foods, and they watch porn, and they have like, they just have no discipline. And it's, you know, it's really making it very easy for the technocrats and for AI to kind of take over as we just kill ourselves off. And it's just, you know, it freaks me out it's really not, not, people have gotten mad at me because they're like, oh, civilizations always rebuild themselves. And I'm like, well, no, they don't. Strong men rebuild them, but we're not going to have any strong men to rebuild this one the way things
are
going.
Certainly a lot of civilizations throughout history that didn't rebuild and certainly couldn't.
Right.
And we will be no exception to that unless we take heed. I can't believe how quickly this, I say this a lot, but I mean it this time. This hour has gone by very fast, and I have left a few things on the table that we're not going to be able to get into. I think people could probably surmise by now your take on journalists and the media in general. We'll save that for another time. I did want to talk to you. You have an interesting story about compulsory attendance in university. All right, everybody has to go to college. Maybe we'll get to that next time. But let's talk about your contact info. So, folks, if you've enjoyed the takes you've heard and the opinions shared by Little Apostate, she's going to tell you how you can learn more. And hopefully we'll talk to her again very soon. Give us all that contact information.
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is just Little Apostate. My YouTube is under, I have a bit on Spotify under Thinking in Criminal, which is the name of my podcast, but on YouTube it really is mostly just under Little Apostate. And then my website, where I have prints and stuff for my art and you know, more of just my art in general, is littleapostate.com. And I think that's about it.
Well, that's certainly more than enough. That's more places than we are. I told you I'm a technophobe and I'm a Luddite, and I got dragged kicking and screaming to Twitter in 2016. We do have a website, though, and we got a radio show, and thank God for that, because it gives us the opportunity to present to you people that you need to hear from, like this young lady here tonight, Little Apostate. She gave you the contact information. Check her out. Follow her. Support her. Do what you will. Contact her for our entire staff and crew in Utah, in Memphis, and in Florida. I am James Edwards. Great appearance tonight from Little Apostate. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Keep the faith.